And welcome back in to the Tuesday Morning Blitz, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Bojie Wood coming to you from GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta. I want to thank Yogi Roth for being with us in that last segment talking about Pac-12. Big game out in the Pac-12 this week is going to be that Washington State game. That's going to be an interesting game. You know, one of the great things about doing this show is able to reconnect and stay in touch with old friends and everything. And we've got a caller on the line that we're going to bring on here. His name is Mike Logan from Sylacauga, Alabama. Now, all of us have that one friend that never let us forget, you know, something. It's just that one friend. Well, I've got a confession to make. Despite anything that I've ever done athletically, not that it was that great or anything, but the one thing that I have never been able to do is hit a wiffle ball. Never. I don't care if it was when I was 4, 14, 24, 64. I'm not 64, but I'll never be able to hit a wiffle ball, okay? Now, there's one guy that I grew up around, Mike Logan, who never lets me forget that, and I don't know how he still remembers that. But he does. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing today from Sylacauga, Alabama?
Hey, Bojie. I'm doing great, my friend. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Oh, great to have you. But, of course, now tell me something. Now, was my wiffle ball experience that rememberable? You remember? I mean, after all these years, you remember that. That's amazing to me.
Oh, we used to have a blast. You know, we'd hit that ball up in the road and keep up with the home runs.
Yeah.
I think it was more the pitching.
You throw me a flat fastball,
and I would throw you a hook.
I got you. I see. Well, like I said, I've just never been a great wiffle ball player. Never. We played it in Jacksonville, up at Jacksonville. We'd get out there behind the dorm, all the players, and we'd pick up sides. And, you know, and I, two games, I said, no, I'm through with this. I'll go to the golf course and hit the golf ball. That ball doesn't move. But, hey, my
wiffle. Those are wonderful memories.
No doubt about it. Fairmont Estates, you got to love it. I mean, my sister lived there, and that's what got me down there with you guys, you and Jeff Harper, Frenchie Floyd, those guys. I mean, names that come way back.
That's right.
Well, Mike, well, listen, we're going. Right. You and I can reminisce later, but I want to talk to you about this situation at Auburn. Of course, you are a big Auburn fan, have been for a long time, I guess your whole life.
And, I have.
And it's – Yeah, and it's got to be frustrating from a fan standpoint. Of course, I look at it just a little bit differently, you know, from my coaching background and then from the media aspect. And it's, you know, and no matter where you're standing outside looking in, everybody's got a little bit different view. And, you know, for someone like yourself who's been a Auburn faithful for a long, long time, you know, you've seen the comings and goings of that program. This has got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it really is. It's, and I'm not down there to put my finger on what the pulse of the program is like. It reminds me of 2012, Bojie, when, I think everybody understands the fact that Coach Chizik lost the Auburn football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is strictly my opinion, but that's what I think, and I think we're revisiting that again. And I don't know what it is that's causing it, but that's what I fear the most, and I think that's what we're looking at right now.
Mike, yesterday I was on with Coach Max Howell over in ESPN Mississippi, and we were talking about this situation, and I brought up something, and I'm gonna get your opinion on this. I think some programs, well, I think some coaches have trouble handling success. And if you look at Malzahn, Gus has been ranked in the top 10 two times in his 6 years going into the season where he's going to finish the season unranked. And to me, I think, you know, handling success is a big part of it. That's why Nick Saban is so successful, because he's never satisfied. It doesn't matter. Success is not enough for him. It's got to be perfection. And then once it gets to be perfection, then, you know, it's got to be super perfection. You know, what do you think about that standpoint? Do you think that Gus Malzahn and maybe Auburn in general, as far as the football program, has had trouble handling success in the past?
You know, you could be right. One of my main concerns with Gus You know, Nick Saban come from a coaching background. You know, he coached professional football and Michigan State and some LSU, of course, and then went back to freshman. And Gus, to me, he only had 2 years of head coaching experience in college, at college level, and that was at Arkansas State before Auburn hired him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that he's ever just really grasped what being a CEO of a program is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a whole lot more responsibility that comes with being the head coach at Auburn than being the head coach at Arkansas State.
Right.
And, I don't think that he's ever grasped that fact and been able to handle it. And so a lot of what you're saying, I agree with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a good point, because when you're the head of a program at an Arkansas State, and not picking on Arkansas State just because that's where he was, but when you're a program at an Arkansas State, you know, you have the media spotlight, number one, is not that bright as far as compared to the SEC. And one of my old coaching comrades from Eastern New Mexico, Blake Anderson, he's the head coach at Arkansas State right now. And he told me that, you know, he got more attention and more scrutiny as being the offensive coordinator at North Carolina than he has at being the head coach at Arkansas State. And that sounds crazy, but that just shows the different, you know, levels of play and the different levels of scrutiny that come with those different levels. And I totally agree with you there. I think when you get to an Auburn, in a program like that, you've got to decide, hey, I've got to be the CEO. If I'm going to call plays and all this other stuff, and if I'm going to micromanage every one of my assistant coaches, number one, they're not going to do as good a job, and the team is not going to be as well prepared, because you feel like you've got to have your hand in everything.
That's exactly right. You know, one of my biggest concerns, and I talk to my brother about it all the time, and a few of my other Auburn friends, is, you know, when you're – Boja, he's been at Auburn for 6 years, and the thing that concerned me going into this football season was our offensive line. And I know everybody's got a different recruiting strategy, if you would. And, you know, the successful programs win ball games in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Gus and his staff have spent enough time on the recruiting trail getting quality depth at the lineman position. 6 years' time, you ought to have some quality backup depth. And, you know, Auburn folks, hey, listen, I'm one of those realist guys. You know, I know Auburn is not a blue blood program like a USC or Ohio State or the evil school across to the west. But, but you know, you still expect more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you expect more out of it. And then, and for what Gus is getting paid, he's not producing no product. You know, all the folks don't want to be good every 6 years or 4 years or mm-hmm. 3 years or whatever the case might be.
Right.
You know, we want to be competitive every year.
Right.
And that's where the most disgust comes in. You know, being a Auburn fan's tough.
Mike, a lot of people have talked about the contract extension that was given last year. After beating number one Georgia and then number one Alabama, a lot of people talk about that contract, and the biggest complaint I hear from the Auburn fan on the street right now is, you know, other than beating Georgia and Alabama last year, what did he do to earn that contract? What about your feelings on that?
I totally agree. You know, I absolutely 100% agree. You know, it's you know, he came in and he took over in the 13th season, and you know, he hit the ground running, and Auburn done well and should have won a national championship, in my opinion. They should not have lost mm-hmm. that football game. But you know, moving forward, you know, you go 8-5, 8-5, whatever the case is, 7-6, go mm-hmm. to a Birmingham Bowl, and then you come back last year and you're sitting in a situation at this SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
To beat Georgia and move forward. But from my understanding, you know, the contract was a handshake deal the Friday night before the SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And which I don't know if that has any bearing on anything, Boji, but I thought the contract was ridiculous. I think Auburn, whoever was over doing the contract, panicked. They used Arkansas as a pawn.
Yep.
And Auburn, no, he's not deserved. He hasn't done anything good. Absolutely right to answer your question. They based it solely on the two games that he won at the end of last football season.
All right, Mike.
And that was ridiculous.
All right, Mike. Auburn sitting at 4-3 right now. Ole Miss got to go over to Oxford this week, and then you got Texas A&M next week in Auburn, and then Liberty, and then of course Georgia and Alabama to end the year. At 4-3 right now, if you've got to predict, you got to look into your crystal ball, you see a final record. What are you looking at?
5-7.
That has been the most prominent answer that I've heard all week is 5-7. I'm in agreement with you there. And the final question, I know we've kept you a while here. Appreciate you calling in, though. But now, Mike, after the season, the buyout's going to be $32.1 million. That's what they owe the man if they get rid of him. If we go back to what you said earlier, Gene Chizik's last year at Auburn, and it's almost like deja vu all over again. If you'll remember, Gene Chizik's last year at Texas A&M, there were about 45,000 people in that stadium for that game, and that was really the beginning of the end for Gene Chizik at Auburn. If you have the same situation this year, if come back home, regardless of what happens this weekend, but I think Ole Miss has got an excellent chance of winning the football game. But if Ole Miss beats Auburn and Auburn comes back home to a half full stadium, do you see the end is near for Gus Malzahn, and somehow, some way, Auburn comes up with $32.1 million?
They're going to have to, Boji. And I don't think coming up with it will be an issue. And I'm not real sure. I've never read the contract.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that it's $16 million within 30 days of his dismissal. But
yes.
Either way, here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because the thing of it is, and the way I look at it, Boji, is it's going to cost Auburn a whole lot more than $32 million down the road
mm-hmm.
if you keep him.
Right.
Because the donors will quit donating.
Mm-hmm.
The fans will quit buying season tickets. The fans will quit showing up at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go 5-7 and you're losing all of your bowl revenue that they
right.
split up every spring in Destin,
mm-hmm.
Florida.
Right.
So $32 million is a lot of money, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody should be accountable. If Jay Jacobs was over that deal or the president,
mm-hmm.
and I've got different people talking in my ears about really who was behind the okay. I was told
mm-hmm.
Jay Jacobs had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And I'm not sure if he was, but no, in the long run, you got to buy him out because you're going to end up losing hundreds of billion dollars because of the product you got on the field.
Yeah. Well, and Mike, you and I both know that ultimately the responsibility for this lies with the Board of Trustees. And, you know, we see a rubber stamp with the Board of Trustees on contracts in public, but we all know that they are very privy to these contracts well before they're publicized, and they know what they're voting on well before they go into that meeting. Again, that's just a dog and pony show for the public. So, you know, I think that a lot of this, you know, I think Jay was just kind of a conduit. I really do. He knew he was on his way out. I think he was pretty much a conduit. I think the president had more to do with this than Jay. But at the same time, I think, bottom line, the Board of Trustees, they have to take a hard look at themselves and wondering, you know, first of all, I agree with you, and I know for a fact, Arkansas never had a deal on the table with Gus Malzahn.
No.
Jimmy. That was Jimmy Sexton working his shell game magic. That's all that was. And so there was never a contract on the table from Arkansas. The board, they knew that. And if they didn't, they're not smart enough to be on the board. But when that thing comes across the table and they voted on it, I think a lot of responsibility falls with them.
Oh, I absolutely agree. you know, that was a power broker in Auburn for years and years and years, and everything went through him, and everybody that knows Auburn and loves Auburn knows that I went through him.
Right.
And you know who I'm speaking of. I'm not going to say his name on the radio, but either way.
Yeah. We can say it, Bobby Louder. Bobby Louder.
Bobby Louder. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how much trouble I can get into by saying something, but either way, there's one of those sitting on the board now.
Right, yeah, there is.
And he rides a yellow horse or whatever, those commercials. But either way, he's the money man
right. That
wants to dictate stuff.
Right.
And hey, if he put his stamp of approval on this, hey, look, he needs to pony up.
I'm in total agreement with you there. Mike, listen, man, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming on, and would love for you to call back in sometime a little bit later on in the season.
Yes, sir. We'll check in together. Bojack, it was great talking to you, my friend.
Oh, same here, Mike. Mike Logan, Sulacaga, Alabama, faithful Auburn fan there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Mike Bernard's going to be here to review last night's game between the Packers and the 49ers right here on GameDaySportsRadio.com.